Pastor Brett Metter points out the need to recognize that Jesus isn't just part of the story. He's the foundation of everything.
The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who is the begotten of the Father? Jesus. So who is the Word made flesh? Jesus. So this is where it gets tricky. If Jesus is God's Son, how could He be God?
The Gospel of John begins with a powerful truth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Apostle John invites us into the mystery of who Jesus is, eternal, divine, and the source of all creation. On today's Word with Pastor Brett Metter, we'll offer understanding of how Jesus revealed God to us. And I want to welcome you to this new radio program called Today's Word. Our teacher, Pastor Brett Metter, is the senior pastor of Athey Creek Church in West Lynn, Oregon, a suburb of Portland. Pastor Brett, welcome.
Thanks, Kurt. It's great to be with you today.
Brett, you've been the pastor at Athey Creek Church for almost 30 years.
Yeah.
Why this new radio program called Today's Word?
Well, you know, we have been committed to teaching the Bible. And one of our, you know, main components of our fellowship is the old school, kind of the J. Vernon McGee, you know, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book. I've always so appreciated his ministry over the years. So, you know, we started teaching the Bible through every book. And through the years, the Lord's just really blessed that. We wanted to bring that to as many people who are willing to listen.
Yeah, we really do. Well, Brett, what else would you like to say to someone who's tuning in to Today's Word for the first time?
What we would hope for that listener is to have them travel with us through the Bible. And, you know, if there's a routine they can get in, I know people will often have a drive time or a time where they can just tune in and make it a regular. We're going to be that radio program that we'll just travel through the Bible with you if you're willing to do the time with us. I think there's a great reward. Mm-hmm. There's nothing like the Word of God. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, light unto my path. And we feel like we get to bring that to our radio listeners.
Yes, definitely, Brett. And we are excited, friend, that you're joining us for Today's Word and hope you'll set aside time to listen each day. All right, let's get started now. As we begin in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, here again is Pastor Brett Metter with a message he's titled, Is Jesus God?
John the Apostle starts his gospel message with a huge beginning. The other Gospels tend to be more quaint and beautiful and sweet, like with everything from like the Nativity and Jesus born in Bethlehem and the manger. Like those are wonderful beginnings, but John just goes giant when he starts his Gospel. It's a totally different beginning than all the other Gospels, and you're going to sense that as we get into it. But one of the main things John is going to do for you and me is identify who is Jesus. And he starts with a bang. Let's go. Chapter 1. There it says, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So much here. John chapter 1 is so deep, we could spend weeks and weeks just diving into this and everything that he's talking about. It's just mind-bendingly profound, everything John's saying. And by the way, the beginning of this would have triggered some thoughts that we may not have as American Christians reading in our English Bibles. We wouldn't really have the same sort of signals that would have provoked all kinds of thought and wonder. And the biggest one here that we sort of miss is the word, Word. When he says, in the beginning was the Word, notice the capital W. So that's just a translator signal that something special is happening here. This is where you have to understand the word for word is this word logos in the Greek. If you look in a Greek dictionary today, it says speech, doctrine, scripture, mind, reason. And it's a pretty broad definition when you talk about the word. When we talk about the word scripture here, logos has come to mean for a lot of us, the Greek word logos sort of implies the Bible, the word of God. And we sort of use that in modern vernacular as talking about the scriptures, the Bible. Some people say the logos is the doctrine or the teachings of the Bible, but it also can be the word as in oral, you know, speaking. But the mind reason part, well, that reaches back to the original meaning of the word logos. It was more of a philosophical term. And this is where the Jews hearing or reading John's gospel, they would be triggered by this word. In the beginning was the logos. And the logos was with God and the logos was God. And they would have thought, wow, this is going deep and it's profound. Why would they think that way? Well, a few hundred years before Christ, there were the Greek philosophers from, you know, Athens who were talking about, you know, just the meaning of life and the very existence of things and what is it all about. And they were philosophizing all of these things. Probably one of the main people who worked on this idea was Plato. And he came up with the idea that all things or anything that is a thing that exists is really the logos. Logos represents a thought. And behind anything that exists, there was a thought that puts it into existence. It's a little bit like, you know, if a tree falls in the woods and nobody's there, does it make a sound? It's, you know, basically Plato saying, if somebody didn't think about that tree that's out there, if nobody ever thought about it, does that tree really even exist if there was no thought? So that was kind of the way. Now, he didn't use the specific word logos, but it would come to be that. The word logos would be the one that they would say. So logos to that culture kind of talked about the existence of everything. Now, another guy came along, another philosopher named Philo. And Philo, a few centuries later, he was a Hellenistic Jew, and he lived during the same time of Jesus Christ. And he was famous for basically taking the next step from Plato's behind everything, there was a thought. Well, Philo said, well, for there to be a thought, there must be an original thinker. Now, being Jewish, of course, he rightly connects that with God, is the idea that there was a God. In order for things to exist, he had to have it come to thought first. Now, let me just say clearly, obviously the Lord Jesus Christ is not the logos of the Greek philosophy. For you that study these things, he's actually the Memra or Memra of the Hebrew scriptures, which is actually Yahweh, the great tetragrammaton, the I am statement of the book of Exodus. So you're saying, Brett, I'm a little lost there. Well, the idea is really simple. In order for a thought to be there, there has to be a thinker. It starts to dabble in the idea of creation. For a tree to be there, there had to be a thought, then there had to be a thinker which brought that into existence, which really speaks of original creation. And that's what's really interesting about what John says here. You know, after he says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then he goes into verse 3, all things were made by him. Now we're talking full-blown creation. And without him was not anything made that was made. You see, John the Apostle is tapping into what people were already mulling over and thinking about, but he seals the deal. While they're sitting around, well, there must have been a thought, and there must have been a thinker for all things to exist. And John, man, he blows it out of the water. There was a thought, there was a thinker, and guess who it is? Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified on a cross. John is saying Jesus is God. And the very God of creation. Let's kind of think through this and break it down. So right here in our main first scripture, in the beginning was the Word was with God and the Word was God. Just the very introduction would have made most people think about what other scripture do you think of when we start a book with in the beginning, what other book do you think of? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I believe John's very intentional on this. He's saying in the beginning, echoing back to Genesis 1:1, he's gonna connect this idea of logos. In the beginning was the logos, the word. And what is the logos? The word was with God and the word was God. By the way, this is really fun because one thing about what we believe as Christians, if you're a Christian Bible literalist as I am, I don't believe in evolution. Oh, Brett, you checked your brain in, you just believe in fantasy and you resist science. Well, I'm just gonna say that's totally ridiculous. And if anybody's into fantasy, it's the evolutionist. Evolution thinks everything happened just accidentally by chance. But when I look at the model of the polynucleotide strands of a double helix of the DNA structure, I just kind of marvel and think, wow, look at the exact structure and sequence that is so profoundly in order. And if it's out of order, we got all kinds of problems and chaos. Where did that structure and order come from? An evolutionist has to believe that that all just kind of accidentally, you know, you shake a box long enough, you'll get a double helix out of all the components that you need for a DNA polynucleotide strand. That's ridiculous. We believe there was a creator, and we see intelligent design of a creator. And that's really the thought and the thinker that created. And that's why John says, in the beginning was the Logos. The Logos was with God. The Logos was God. And then it says, and the Logos, all things were made by the Logos. All things were made of anything that was made. That's what John is making the claim. Pretty radical. This is really something when you think about God and his nature, you know, he's outside. This is where people go wrong. People try to put God in the same context of humanity, that we're in time and space with our physical laws and rules of physics. But the Bible seems to imply that God is outside of all those rules and all those, which isn't really hard to imagine. If he's big enough to create all things, then he's probably not restricted by the same things we are. How big is God? Well, it's hard for our brains to even fathom. Isaiah the prophet starts to dabble with this when he says in Isaiah 40:12, he says, "Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand?" Picture God holding the Pacific and the Atlantic Ocean in the palm of his hand. "And meted out or measured out the heaven with the span of his," the idea is with his palm of his hand, he measures the whole universe. "And comprehends the dust of the earth in measure." He knows how many specks of dust there are in the earth. "And weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance." He knows how much Mount Hood weighs. And that's amazing that God just, like Isaiah the prophet, is trying to stretch our brain. If you let your mind do it, you know, when you think of how big a human is in all the space, it's just a speck, a tiny little speck in space. If you go from the astronaut to the satellite to various moons and asteroids and stuff like that, things get bigger and bigger till you get to the Earth. And the Earth, you think, oh, well, that's huge. The Earth is huge compared to a man. If that astronaut were standing on South America, you wouldn't even see him because he's a speck. But the Earth is a speck when you compare it to all the other. If you go through the planets, you know, we got Earth, but then there's much bigger planets, including Jupiter and Saturn. And then you get to, you know, the sun, which is giant. No, the sun is not giant. It's a speck. How much of a speck? Did you know you could fit 1.3 million Earths inside of our sun? That's how big our sun is. But the sun is a speck. In fact, as far as stars go, it's a dwarf star. It's a small, little, tiny speck of a star. But one of the biggest supergiants we know, a red supergiant called UV Scuti, is a giant star. We're just going to call it a giant star. But actually, it's a speck. Did you know it would take 5 billion of our suns to fill up this star? 5 billion of our suns to fill up UY Scuti. What Isaiah is saying is God spans that with the palm of his hand. It's like playing with a baseball or something. That's God. He's huge. Outside of time and space and in power that we have no idea. You know, Colossians 1, 16 through 17, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and are in earth, invisible and visible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist." This is talking about God. Creator God. You might even say God the Father, right? Back to our main text here, John, first chapter, chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word." So here's where we start to move away from just the Genesis, that God pre-existed creation. But this is where we start to realize Jesus pre-exists before creation of all things. And I want to show you he pre-existed as Jesus, the Messiah. In fact, he pre-existed as a lamb that would be slain before even the foundations of the world even happened. This is God the Father and God the Son. But it makes your brain sort of hurt when you try to think, yeah, but is it one God? Let's talk about that. Not only did God exist before time began, but the Word, the Logos, pre-existed. And we understand that the Word was God and it was Jesus. We're going to see that as we keep going. But when it says was here, in the beginning was, for you linguistic scholars, imperfect indicative active, third person singular. You're like, well, la-ti-da. Well, I don't even understand that, other than it's a continued action is the idea here. In the beginning was, continued action, the Word, the Logos. So the idea is two things pre-existed before creation, God the Father, and the Logos, which we're gonna see is Jesus. We'll see that in a second here, but these are the things that preexisted. So in the beginning was the Word, and then the second phrase, the Word was with God. So the second statement here, the Word was with God, makes it abundantly clear to me and to you that he, the Logos, seems to be separate from God the Father because he was with God. But Brett, I got a problem already. If he's with God, he is not God. Well, you would think that, wouldn't you? But the third statement sets us straight. It says, and the Word was God. Well, how can that be, Brett? How can the Word be with God, the Logos be with God? Which if the Word, Logos is Jesus, because the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, that's Jesus. How could Jesus be with God, but at the same time be God? We'll start by answering, he's God. He can do whatever he wants. And even though we can't figure all that out, we need to understand what John's saying here is very mysterious. But we'll get some answers here in a second. So, by the way, this last phrase, if you look it up in the original Greek phrase, it's as emphatic as it ever could be stated. The Word, the Logos, was God. In the Greek, it's more specific because in the Greek language, the most important word is placed at the beginning of each sentence. That's the way the Greek works. And it reads like this, God was the Word. That's really what it says. God was the Word. That's totally emphatic. You can't get more clear than that. So as we consider that in light of verse 14 of our text today, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who is the begotten of the Father? Jesus. So who is the Word made flesh? Jesus. We know that. That's from verse 14. So this is where it gets tricky. Brett, if Jesus is God's son, how can he be God? We get a little hung up on the phrase in the Bible, the Son of God, when I think it's something we have to be careful about. Jesus is not God's son in the sense that of like a human father and a son. I can't make the same claims Jesus makes. For example, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and my Father are one. If my son, Joey, came up here on the stage and I wasn't here in the room and he said, if you've seen me, you've seen my Father. You're like, no, Joey, you're a little skinnier than Brad. And now, if you've seen Joey, you have not seen the Father. It's a much more terrible thing to behold. But Jesus was making something of a claim when he even said to the Jews actually said, are you the Son of God? And he said, you said it, I am the Son of God. And they flipped out. Why did they flip out? Because he wasn't just saying he was a descendant of God. It's more of the idiom that's used in the Bible, the son of something. You can be born of that person, like father-son relationship, but also the Son of God, the claim is in fact to be God is sort of the idea. That's why it was blasphemy to the Jews when they demanded Jesus' death because he was claiming to be the Son of God. Now it means the very expression of God is the idea of the Son of God. The Son is the radiance of God's glory to be the exact representation of his being. That's what Hebrews 1:3 tells us, by the way, in talking about the Son of God. Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus is the perfect manifestation of God. How can two be one? Brett, how is this even possible? If he was the same as God, how could he pray in the Garden of Gethsemane to God? Well, the answer is that it goes outside of time and space. For example, one of the guys here in church told me years ago, it's a good illustration, let's just pretend right now at church, all of a sudden, boom, a DeLorean ends up on the stage here. There's little flames right here. And suddenly Christopher Lloyd jumps out, great Scott. And he says, who wants to go on a time machine ride? And one of you guys raise your hand and he calls on you. And you jump into his DeLorean, he puts in a banana peel and a Coke can. And then man, off the stage you go and flames off the stage and you're gone. And where did you go? Well, you go back to see your kindergarten self. Back in the day when you were just a little kindergartner, just like in the movie, you know, when Michael J. Fox saw his dad, his mom, and all that stuff. Same thing, but you're seeing your kindergarten self. Have you ever thought of what would you tell your kindergarten self? You go out to the playground and the kindergartner looks at you and goes, man, you're a weirdo. Like, yeah, but I'm you. And let me give you a few pointers. Watch out for Susie in the sixth grade. Don't even talk to her. And when you get your driver's license, pay attention to the road. I know that's a clumsy illustration, but in the same way, God, who lives in an eternal now, an existence outside of time, space, God inserts himself into the laws of time and physics and becomes a man. The Logos, the Word, the living Word, Jesus, who's the Son of God, the manifestation of God. He's God incarnate. And so you say, okay, so God sort of, does he seem to self-limit himself? Well, that's right. Philippians chapter 2, Paul touches on this in kind of an interesting way, speaking of Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God or the same as God, but made himself, the word made there, mark that, that's important, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The idea of being obedient means he could have saved himself from death, but he laid aside not his deity. This is where people get a little mixed up. God became a man and laid aside his deity. No, Jesus was always deity, but he did empty himself of his glory in a sense. The word made there is of great importance. It's actually speaking into the doctrine of kenosis. Kenosis, the term, refers to the doctrine where Christ self-emptied himself in his incarnation. And the kenosis comes from the Greek word of made right here. The Greek word is kenao, which means to lose power, but maybe even more accurately for this word, to be emptied. God emptied himself, if you would, when he became a man and he set aside his heavenly glory. He also voluntarily refrained from using his divinity to make his way easier. He was in the form of a man, including all of our limitations of time and space. So in a way, it's like the time machine thing. When Jesus comes to this earth, he's now in time and space, but guess what? That part of his character and nature, the first part of the Trinity, God the Father, is in heaven. And that's why Jesus would say things, I always do the will of my Father. It's talking about that relationship that it's hard for our brains to get around because we don't understand time and space and dimension of God. Well, I can't figure that out. Well, I've always loved the saying, you know, if God were small enough to figure out, he wouldn't be big enough to worship.
Pastor Brett Metter pausing with an apt illustration for what a great God we serve. Having delivered just the first half of a message drawn from the Gospel of John on today's Word. I trust you'll stay with us as Pastor Brett will join me in just a moment, but first, let me introduce you to Brett Metter. He's the senior pastor of Athey Creek Church just south of Portland in West Lynn, Oregon. Brett's been the pastor of Athey Creek Church for almost 30 years, where the church has grown from a small group of believers to one of the largest churches in the Pacific Northwest. We invite you to listen each day at the same time for more of today's Word. If you've missed any portion of our study, you can find all of Pastor Brett's messages, including this one, online at todayswordradio.com. You can also watch full video messages from Pastor Brett by going to todayswordradio.com. All right, I have Pastor Brett with me now. Brett, as we are just beginning this new radio program, again called Today's Word, I know that your vision for Athey Creek Church is found in Acts 2:42. Can you share a little bit about why you chose that verse?
Yes, you know, we feel like our calling as a church is really dictated by the book of Acts. We see how the early church was formed. And whenever you see the preaching of the word, the people multiplied, you know. Right. But it says there at the very beginning in Acts chapter 2, right after Peter preached that great sermon, 3,000 people were saved. And then as the word continued to be preached, the church multiplied. And so it says they continued steadfastly, and there are four main components of Acts 2:42. And one is the apostles' doctrine, which was teaching the word. And then number two, fellowship, which is that fancy Greek word koinonia, which means to just have rich fellowship and community together. And then the breaking of bread, which was food, but also communion time. And then finally, prayers. That's the model for our church, just a simple model. We really don't have any big programs or fancy elements to our church, but we are committed to those four main things, with the very first one being the teaching of the word.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you, Brett. And if you'd like more information about Pastor Brett Metter and Today's Word, visit todayswordradio.com. There you can also share a comment or request prayer. Again, go to todayswordradio.com for more information. Well, next time, Pastor Brett continues to look at the question, is Jesus God?
I hope you understand, It's a huge and important part of our doctrine and what we believe of the Bible. God became a man, lived among us, died on the cross for the sins of the world, and proved that he was who he claimed to be when he rose from the grave. You and I are saved by the grace of God because of the cross of Christ.
Today's Word with Pastor Brett Metters, an outreach of Athey Creek Church in West Lynn, Oregon.